fear and concern and whatnot, even before, like an anxiety attack or something of that nature. I can't imagine why he would have any of that, because you're just going to jump 23 miles and go the speed of sound and all this, you know. What does it take to get someone to do that? Is it a death wish? I don't think that's it, because otherwise you wouldn't bother with the parachute and all the work to get ready to do it. So I don't think that's that. But you have a goal in mind. You have a purpose. You have something that you're intending to have accomplished. It takes a form of courage and commitment to do something like that. Well, we are at a crossroads in our nation. I'm not going to be talking about sports. I'm not even going to be talking about politics necessarily this morning. But there are many things here as well. We live in an age of extreme politics, if you will, where there are major and significant things that are going on. Conflict. We are anything but United Nations in many senses. So it's an interesting world that we live in today. And our decisions that we make relative to those that we put into office in various places are significantly going to impact our future. We need to be aware of that. We are already on, now this is not a surprise to you, we are already on a path to destruction. We are already down the slope, if you will. It's just a matter, can we slow it down, or are we going to accelerate it so that we go even faster? Those are some concerns that I think we need to deal with. There is an increasingly greater need for standing apart from the crowd, to not go along with everything else that's going on around us, to stand up for what's right and what's true. And so there is a need for courage today as much as ever. Maybe courage almost on the level of some of the extreme sports that are out there. And maybe that's a helpful parallel to think about. We need to be prepared to do some things that are a little scary, that aren't necessarily easy for us to think about. So this morning, in light of that, we're going to be looking at another Old Testament character. This one is Joshua. And perhaps more than anyone else, he was urged to take courage. So we want to think about Joshua and his situation, and then the need for courage today in our situation, and think about that. When is courage needed? When is courage needed? Joshua 1:1 says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead.'" And we have some actual footage of Moses and a headline that says that Moses is dead. Those are hard to come by, but it's helpful for us to kind of envision what we're dealing with here. So the situation had changed. Joshua had been Moses' servant, or his assistant, rather, for many years. And now, all of a sudden, the things where everything was working on an even keel, and the boss was in place, and everything was going as could be expected, now that's changed. So, when is courage needed? When facing a new situation is one of those times. When facing a new situation, because your circumstances may change. Matter of fact, you can be pretty much guaranteed that your circumstances are going to change. They regularly change to some degree or another. In Joshua's case, he was realizing that they were no longer in a holding pattern, no longer in a place where they were just wandering for 40 years to endure the punishment that had come upon them because the 10 spies said, there's no way we can take this land. And God said, okay, then you're going to be stuck here. You're going to all die off. Everybody that's 20 years old and older, and we'll start with a new generation except for Joshua and Caleb because they're the only ones who had faith in me during this time. And so that which they had been comfortable with, or at least had gotten used to, whether it's comfortable or not, living in the desert like they had been, given the amount of grumbling they had, it's not likely. So no longer were they in this holding pattern. There was a new task that was being given to Joshua. He's told, now you need to lead this people into the land that they were afraid to go in 40 years ago. And so now they're going to be all ready to go, we hope. So Joshua receives a promotion. He now went from assistant to the main guy, and everything rests on him. There's possibly a little need for some courage there. He has this new ministry. And we have those kinds of experiences as well, where life changes. We have different circumstances, different situations. We need to adjust to those things. And there is an intensified sense of purpose. He now has been told, or is going to be, as we'll see in a moment, that he needs to take the people into the land. And so his sense of purpose is very much clarified at this point. In verse 2 it says, as we noted, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. And we know all of what is involved in that. We're not going to go into all of those details. We want to recognize that your responsibilities may increase. We have those occasions as well when what we have to deal with is going to increase. And Joshua's load just got a whole lot bigger. He was able to assist Moses. Now it all rests on him. And he is the mediator between God and the people in terms of providing leadership. And there are many places that Joshua is referred to as Moses' assistant previous to this. Now that's no longer going to be the case. But there are others who have circumstances change, their responsibilities change, going from a couple to a single, no longer having the helpmate there. How do you deal with life then? Your responsibilities have now increased where you have to deal with everything. That's a significant change that you have to deal with. There's a need for courage to continue on in that circumstance. It's moving from one level of responsibility to another. Maybe the loss of a support system. Somebody who has been there to be of help to you no longer is there for whatever reason. Now you have to handle things on your own, so to speak. How do you deal with that? And then there's this one. Your age will increase. Oh, man, did you have to bring that up? That's another factor. Joshua had aged at least 40 years since he had previously gone to battle. One's energy may be decreased just a little bit. Some of you might recognize that. I'm always reminded of it when I see the little kids running around, just zipping, zipping, zipping. How in the world do they do that? And they're warming up the room by just being there because of the heat they generate. And I'm cold, you know. But Joshua had been involved in battle. We'd seen this earlier back, Exodus 17, 9 to 10, when he was asked to battle against the Amalekites. And now 40 years had gone by. And so he's probably pushing 80-something. And by the time you get to that age, you're kind of thinking, okay, I'm ready to slow down a little bit. I think it's time to relax and enjoy the fruit of my labor, and now I don't have to work quite so hard. And God says, oh, by the way, you're in charge of taking a couple million people and getting them into this land. And by the way, you have to remove the people that are currently living there. And they're not going to be excited about it. So, and then one's health may be diminished to some degree at some point. That will happen. Though we do have record of Caleb, who in Joshua 14:9 through 12 says he was then 85 years old, and he says, "As yet I am as strong as strong this day as the day that Moses had called him." So, don't you wish that were the case? Well, we can hope. We can pray. We can exercise a little, see if that helps. And perspective changes. Doesn't perspective change just a little bit? Can you imagine where you were if you're old enough to have looked back over 40 years? How do you see things now compared to some time back? Priorities may be clarified a bit. There may be a greater sense of urgency with, you know, I've only got so much time left. What am I going to do with the time I have left? Because time is getting shorter. Those are all factors, things to think about. So there is a need for courage in light of those kinds of things, just as it was for Joshua, so it may be for us. Or when facing a daunting task. The task that Joshua had was response dependent. How much he was going to be able to accomplish was going to be somewhat contingent on the willingness of the people to be responsive to what he was asking them to do. That doesn't make it easier. That makes it harder. There are a lot of things that we do that are response dependent in terms of dealing with those around us. And so we may need some courage to deal with that, because sometimes people don't want to go where they need to go, don't want to do what they need to do, don't respond the way we wish they would. When we think about our task is making disciples of all nations. That certainly is response dependent. As we share Christ with others, their response is significant. We are hoping that they will be responsive to the message that we share with them. And that requires an element of courage and boldness, because they might say, no, I don't want that. I don't need that. I'm perfectly happy on the path I'm on. Keep it to yourself. Or you may find, that's exactly what I need. Thank you for sharing. But we don't know which it's going to be. So we need to be prepared to share. Our daunting task is response dependent. There's also a sense in which it is time sensitive. Certainly was for Joshua, getting the people in. They'd already been goofing around for the last 40 years. It was about time they got into the land, got settled in. Don't know if God had a mark on his calendar as when he wanted everybody in place and settled in. But it seems that he was like ready for people to kind of get moved in there. It was they're already 40 years late, if you will. Although it's not necessarily late in God's time frame. So they needed to kind of move things along. And we have a task that is time sensitive. We don't know exactly when the time is completed that God has in mind for the last person to come to faith in Christ. But we know that we have a time frame. We know that the end seems not far off when we have that task to continue. So we need to be about that and not be wasting time. And the task is labor intensive. Certainly Joshua sensed that, knowing how many people he had to deal with. Yes, there were some who had died in the wilderness, but there were more that were born. And so he still may have had a couple of million people to be moving into that promised land. It was certainly a big task. And he had a lot of people that needed to be displaced from the promised land, those who God was bringing judgment on because of their wickedness, which is why he was bringing the children of Israel in there. We also have a task. We have many people to lead to Christ today. I think I brought this up not too long ago, that there were somewhere in the vicinity at least had reached beyond the level of 7 billion people in the world. If even half of them were believers, and they aren't, that would be a huge task. We're talking 7 billion. Does that ever overwhelm you? Does it ever make you feel like, there's just no way, Lord, we can't do this? But he didn't say, as long as you feel comfortable with the number of people that there are in the world, you can do this task. He just said, do it. And he didn't say, you have to witness to all 7 billion. He says, at least one. At least one. And he doesn't even say it that way, but that's how we could at least view it. Doesn't it take courage? Doesn't it take being strong in the midst of an age where there doesn't seem to be a lot of interest in that? Then when facing opposition, people did not want Israel in the land at that time. They had heard about the people. They were afraid of the people. They didn't want them there. It's still true today. They don't want Israel in the land. And there are many who are working to get rid of them and have a specific purpose and focus to do so. We must deal with difficult people. And the reality is they come on both sides. Difficult people on our side, as well as difficult people on the other side. That is, those that we are trying to reach, those that seem to be opposed to us. Joshua certainly experienced that. Moses and Joshua already knew that. They had already had enough experience dealing with their own people, let alone dealing with those that they were supposed to be bringing judgment on. And we must deal with wicked people. There's no shortage of those in our world, is there? We have a lot of work to do in that regard. And it requires an element of boldness to stand up to that. We have to remember that believers are fallen sinners. Joshua was reminded of that after they had taken Jericho and were moving on to Ai, and then they weren't able to have victory. And so Joshua 7, we see that there was one who had taken something of that which they were not to take, and there was judgment within the family of God as well. But then there are also plenty of unbelievers that are fallen sinners. Did I say plenty? Could I have said all? Absolutely. Romans 3:23, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. And so there's no shortage of difficult people, of wickedness in this world. And we must deal with impending judgment. The Israelites were bringing judgment to the land of Canaan at the time. There are issues that are related to that that are not always the easiest to deal with. But we are proclaiming judgment when we share the gospel. We are telling people that they are lost, that they are on a path to destruction, and that there is a provision for that. So in the process of bringing the love of Christ and the hope that is found in Him, we are also bringing a message of judgment that's coming upon the world. We need to keep that in mind as well. And so we have a responsibility. Ezekiel 33 reminded us of the watchman's responsibility, that we have to tell them, we have to warn them. We can't neglect that. We also must deal with failed ideology. There's no shortage of failed ideology around us, and it's becoming increasingly evident. So many different views on things that are faulty. We need to be able to understand and proclaim the biblical worldview, because it is a minority today. We need to communicate that. We need to hold to it. We need to make sure that we're embracing it, because there's so much that's coming at us that's pulling us in a different direction. And then we need to be able to handle the opposition against the biblical ideology that we are proclaiming. And in our pluralistic society, that is an increasing challenge, because we come across as an exclusivist, and in a pluralistic society, they don't accept that. So we need to be strong and courageous. So why is courage needed? These are the words that we find in Deuteronomy 31, verses 6 and 7. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people. I like the way he says, with this people. This bunch of rabble-rousers and troublemakers is kind of the impression I get, at least from reading all the rest of it. For you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. That sounds like a little bit of work right there. You shall cause them to inherit it. I think he's going to have his hands full. So why is courage needed to counter feelings of inadequacy? Is it possible that Joshua was feeling a little overwhelmed? God knew that, and several times through Moses and directly said, be strong and of good courage. I will be with you. Everyone has feelings of inadequacy at some time or another. That's pretty much normal. There are times when we may feel up to the task. There are times we may not feel up to the task. There are times when we can be overwhelmed and we can be discouraged. But take heart. The reality is that we are inadequate. Does that help? We are not up to the task. We are finite. We can't do it all. But fortunately, God is adequate. And He has said, I will be with you. That's what He said to Joshua. That's what He said to Moses. That's what Jesus said to us when He gave the Great Commission. He says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Don't sweat it. Don't worry. Be of good courage. Be strong, because I am with you. That ought to be an encouragement to us, to counter failings of the past. Now, Joshua didn't have to pull out a history book to see what had gone wrong with Israel prior to that. He'd already experienced, he'd already seen all the problems and the challenges and the difficulties. So he knew something of that which he was up against. And he had already been in the land. He saw what it looked like because he had been one of the spies. So he knew what he was up against. And so he knew that it wasn't going to be easy. So he needed to have that encouragement that was given to him. Be strong and of good courage. Our failures tend to point out our inadequacy. We all have them. But we can learn from them, hopefully. And this is encouraging as well. Our failures will not cease to occur. Does that help? Does that really give you a boost? There are going to be more, so don't fret that. Build on them, learn from them, seek to avoid them, but learn from them. And it's true also in our witnessing. We may have mistakes, but we can continue to share Christ, and we can learn from them, and we can become more effective, more bold in our part, so that God can accomplish His part on His end and in His time and in His way. And again, also to conquer the challenges of the future. Courage is needed for taking on new tasks. There are many, whether it be positions. Every year, every day, we have new challenges. We need courage to take those things on. Courage is needed for facing an uncertain future. There's much that is coming that we don't know, that we may have concerns about. We need to be prepared to handle those kinds of things. And courage is needed for facing a destructive future. Because we are, as a nation, self-destructing. It is obvious. We are kind of just dissolving inwardly. And we need to be aware of that. And we may be part of that remnant that holds true. We want to be sure that we are. In spite of the path that we've gone on, but we can be part of the solution, not part of the problem. So how is courage developed? A couple of passages, Numbers 27:18, and the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua the son of Nun with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him." And then verse 12 of chapter 32, "Except Caleb the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, or the Kenizzite, and Joshua the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord." In other words, they were the exception to the spies that had gone. They trusted that God was able to accomplish what needed to be done. So there was this element of trust. How is courage developed? It's partly because you're starting in the right place. It takes a proper foundation, a belief and trust in God. So that you've got an anchor that you can grab hold of when everything else is falling apart around us. There's a need for a personal relationship with God. That is the starting point. Joshua had that. He was devoted to the Lord. And he also had an understanding of the Word. There's a need for embracing the sure Word of God. Joshua was reminded of that. In Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." In other words, if you do what my book says, then you will be on your way to accomplishing what I've asked you to do. You need to have the right foundation, and the Word of God is part of that. So what do we base our confidence on? What are we building our lives on? That we have a reason to take courage. It takes reliance on proper resources. What is your starting point? Is it self? What do I have to offer God? Or is it God? Is He going to be there to be able to pull me through what He's asked me to do? What is your focus? Is it on spiritual reality or is it on material provision? We need material provision, but what about our spiritual reality? What are your resources? What are you resting on? The Word of God? The Holy Spirit? Joshua had seen God at work. That was a resource. We can look back and see how God has worked in the past, in Scripture, in the lives of other believers over time, in our own lives. that also can be helpful. Also, Deuteronomy 34:9 says that Joshua was one who was full of the spirit of wisdom, an element of discernment that is also needed. It takes maintaining a proper perspective. Remember God's prevailing presence. The number of times that God said, "I will be with you, I will be with you, I will be with you," is significant. Said it to Moses, said it to Joshua, said it to us. It continues. Remember God's ultimate plan. God wanted the people in the land, and he was going to bring that to pass. Maybe not in the time frame they initially thought, but he was going to bring it to pass because he had promised. He's also going to use us to accomplish his will in sharing the message of Christ with our world. Are we prepared to do that? Remember God's promised provision. He will provide the help that's needed. He told Moses, "I will be with your mouth." He told Joshua, "I will be with you. I will help you, provide for you." Some concluding thoughts. This week is your time to shine. Voting time. That's a practical thing. That's something where we are able to have an impact in our world. Are we doing our part? Have I committed to doing that? Am I informed and prepared to do so? That's an important element. This week we'll give a preview of the future. When we see what has happened after the election, we'll have an idea. Okay, we kind of have an idea of what may happen given what the circumstances are. But this week is not ultimately definitive. That's helpful to know. God's will is definitive. That supersedes everything else. God is directing the course of events. No matter what else the results are, God is in control. And we must be ready to serve and obey regardless of what the results are of any election that takes place. We need to be strong and courageous no matter what, because God has called us to his purposes. Our purposes and calling are not contingent on this election. Though our comfort level may be, there may be some things that we will be impacted by significantly based on how things transpire, whether it be this one or the next one or whatever. But what we've been called to do is not going to be significantly impacted. Life will go on until God says it's over. Is that encouraging? Let's just keep that perspective. You know, that's kind of important. The work of the church will go on until our work is done. We don't stop. We say, wait. Things aren't working out the way we thought they should. Do we still have to do it? The celebration of God's provision of salvation through Christ will continue until he returns. We will continue to celebrate what Christ has done for us as we share together in the Lord's table. We need courage to face what's going on in our world. We need to be strong and courageous. But we will continue to rejoice in what God has done through Christ, and we will live for him. We will celebrate that reality. So we need to exercise some extreme courage in these extreme days. And sometimes looking back will help us to be able to look forward, at least giving us a reason to look forward. When we look back at what Christ has done for us, then we have hope as we look to the future of what he's going to bring to pass.